Blog Talk Radio.
Demon, fighter of the night, man, champion of the sun. You're a master of karate and friendship.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what a day. Friday, May 15, 2015, episode 46 of the Hockey Guys Podcast. Yours truly, Hunter Crowther, co-host Chris Shannon. We're going to get right into it. Joining us online right now is a man who covers the NHL for the famous WFAN 660 in New York City and also scribes for CBS New York, Sean Hartnett. Sean, how's it going today, man?
Hey, happy Friday to you guys. Let's get into this. I'm pumped.
Oh, you better believe it, brother. Hey, Chris, how you doing as well?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited to hear Sean's opinion today.
Yeah, I like Sean's opinion. He's a pretty smart guy. I'm glad that we're able to have
Rangers.
Him on. Yeah, he's a smart, pretty smart, good-looking guy. All right, Sean, let's get right into it. Game 7 between the Rangers and Caps was one of the more exciting games I can remember. Alex Ovechkin did put up a hell of a performance but wasn't able to follow through, and now the Rangers heading on to the Eastern Conference Finals against the Tampa Bay Lightning. First off, what were your general thoughts of the seven-game series between Washington and New York, and how were the Rangers able to climb back in the series?
Well, I think when talking with these guys, you get the feeling that this team just doesn't panic. It's not in their makeup. It's not in their mentality. It sounds really boring, and it sounds like a cliche, but they take it one game at a time, and they've done it, you know, last year. They've done it again this year, coming back from 3-1 down in the series. Just a really remarkable question of guys in that room who just truly never believe that they're out.
So, Sean, I mean, the game winner by Stepan, I mean, that was a set play. We all saw that. But he really impressed me this year. I mean, it looked like even in the playoffs, you know, I watched a lot of the playoffs more than regular season. But his game looks like he's kind of turned into a two-way center more. Like, you know, his defensive game is much better than it was last year. And he's still that scoring machine. So, I mean, if you're a New York Ranger fan and you have Brassard and Stepan as your top two centers, I mean, you have to be happy. He really stepped up this series.
Well, yeah, I think Stepan's always been a quality two-way center since his time with Tortorella. I think when he worked with Torts really focused on Stepan really understanding what he needs to do on the defensive end. And, you know, maybe Vino's brought out that little bit of extra offense in him and that extra belief. So, you know, Stepan's been a guy that they rely on. You saw what he did last year against the Canadians under the big spotlight, coming back from jaw surgery and playing with that full cage on, looking like Bane from the Batman films. yeah, he's a go-to guy. And you look at like him and McDonough, and they're two very young guys who wear a letter on the front of the jersey for the Rangers. So, you know, those are two young go-to leaders for the Rangers.
One of the standouts in that series was Henrik Lundqvist, and I really can't believe how unbelievable he's been since returning from injury. He's having one of the best postseasons that I can remember in his career. Is this the best you've seen from the King?
I'm really running out of superlatives here. I mean, you know, I don't know how many more adjectives I'm able to come up with watching Lundqvist play. For me, I really thought he was at his absolute best during the Stanley Cup final last year against the Kings, where the Rangers were just hemmed in deep and the Kings were just dominating zone time and possession and firing shots at him, you know, to no end. And he was able to hang in there and keep the Rangers in that series for as long as possible. You know, it was similar to an extent in some of the games against the Caps. You saw the way that the thing tilted in the Caps' direction. They were able to dominate zone time and really unleash a ton of shots. What was it, 32 shot attempts against none in game 6 against Lundqvist? I mean, I don't know how he does it. He must have, like, extra appendages and I don't know what, you know. It's amazing watching this guy every single game compete. He really is in a league of his own.
So, Sean, moving on to this next series against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I mean, this is going to be one hell of a fast-paced series. And I saw in your article today, you talking about Bishop's numbers against New York Rangers. I mean, that was crazy. His numbers are absolutely amazing. It's going to be, it seems like it may be another goalie matchup between these two teams.
And I feel like the difference between Lundqvist and Bishop, it isn't that huge. And if the Lightning can, you know, play their game and excel as a team that's looking to stretch the Rangers and, you know, get the kind of goals that they're going to get. I just don't see the Rangers keeping up. I don't see the Rangers matching goals with the Lightning. If Lightning can jump out to a good lead, I just don't see where the goals are coming from for the Rangers. And, you know, Lundqvist can play at his absolute best like he did in that Kings series that I mentioned, and sometimes that's not enough. You need other guys to step up in the lineup, and you look at the collection of players for the Lightning, and you know that, you know, this team has scoring depth going down the depth chart. I don't think that's something the Rangers have, especially with Zuccarello in all likelihood not being able to play early in the series.
The Rangers acquired Keith Yandle at the trade deadline, and his time in New York has been a little interesting. I mean, he's been a productive player. He's near 55% possession in the postseason, but 0 goals and 4 assists. What's his impact been with New York since arriving?
Well, there was definitely an adjustment period when Yandle came here. Obviously, you know, learning a new conference, coming over from the Arizona Coyotes, you know, it's a bit of a change for him. But I definitely thought as the season went along, he was trending upward. But it seems like he's really hit a wall these playoffs. And, you know, there's people speculating on how healthy he is. I mean, you know, early in the playoffs, he wasn't practicing or skating with the team. As the Capitals series went on, he was able to participate in full practices. So there was definitely a concern there, especially when Vigneault described him as having, you know, many injuries, not pointing to anything specifically, but saying, you know, that there was a lot wrong with him one point during the playoffs. So, you know, I don't want to use the injury thing as an excuse or anything like that. I mean, after any team gets eliminated during the playoffs, you find out all kinds of stuff we had no idea about with guys being banged up in all kinds of different ways. But, yeah, Yandle has definitely stepped his game up. I mean, you look at him and what he can do. He's one of the best guys in the league at bringing the puck up the ice. He's extremely creative, a guy who makes some really intelligent plays when he's on his game. And, you know, he really is a sneaky one-timer, too, and I think he needs to start using it a little bit more.
So my Montreal Canadiens, you know, they got demolished by the Lightning. But
I know.
I'm still going through that. But what I noticed, and I think the X factor of the series between those two teams, was the Johnson line and then the Stamkos line. And they didn't have that second pairing to go up against either the Johnson line or the Stamkos line. The team that looks like they can do that in the East. Yeah, it looks like the New York Rangers. I think that's the team that can do that. I mean, with Mark Stahl and Kevin Klein being able to take up one of those lines and McDonough and Girardi, I mean, this seems like that could be a great setup for the New York Rangers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Rangers, top to bottom, are probably one of the strongest blue lines in the league, if not the strongest. And you look at McDonough and Girardi, and they're as solid as it comes. You know, Mark Stahl, you know, sometimes they'll have him with Boyle. Other times they'll have him with Klein. It really depends on what AV is looking for that particular game or that particular matchup. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you have three really, really strong defensemen there in McDonough, Girardi, and Stahl, guys who just win battles and know how to use their body and make smart plays along the wall. So, yeah, I definitely think the Rangers have a chance of shutting down, you know, the triplets and Stamkos, and I would assume to be a healthy Callahan playing game one. But, you know, it's just, I just feel like you have so much power, so much firepower, this Lightning team. There's so much in their arsenal, and I just see that being the difference.
Well, let's talk about some of that firepower. Other than, obviously, the triplets and Stamkos, I mean, you look at this Lightning lineup, and the big part is Victor Hedman and Antoine Stralman, and they seem to have been one of the best D pairings in the league. Who else on this Lightning lineup should Rangers fans be worried about?
You know, it's going to sound crazy because I think he has, like, 0 goals in 13 games. But Rangers fans know what Brian Boyle's all about, how he's able to take it to another level in the big games, not just as a defensive specialist, but also a guy who knows how to use his body. He was very physical last year. He was able to use his body effectively. And, I mean, you look at him, you look at Callahan, and, you know, they know how to get good body position in front of the crease, and they're going to try to make things tough for Lundqvist.
Who do you think will be the X factor in this series? I mean, I think that's, I mean, you can say Lundqvist. I think there's a lot of moving parts to it, but do you think there's, right now, the series hasn't started, who do you think will be that number one X factor?
I mean, there's so many X factors. I mean, you look at the health of Zuccarello, that's a huge thing. I mean, if he's able to come at some point in the series and join up and get back into the lineup, you know, whether it's, you know, say, game 3, game 4, later in the later half of the series, he's going to bring so much for the Rangers because he's a guy who just seems to light a fire under the team with the way he plays, with his ability to beat the forecheck and go and win puck battles. You know, just such a hungry player, such a creative player, a guy who just brings so many things to the Rangers. I would look to the health of Zuccarello as the biggest X factor in the series, but if we're looking at guys who we know are going to play, you know, I'm wondering what they're going to get out of St. Louis. I mean, Marty St. Louis, you look at his playoff record, it's as good as anybody in this league, but he's been a missing guy for the Rangers to the point that Vigneault really sat him out in Game 7, was preferring JT Miller on the top line. So, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, how much Marty St. Louis has left in the tank.
Now, speaking about St. Louis and Callahan, the series hasn't even started yet, and I'm already sick of that storyline. And I think everyone was already predicting that storyline if these two teams would face each other. As a reporter who's covered the Rangers for a long time, do you get sick of the same bland storylines, or, you know, what is your opinion on the things that are usually talked about?
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy storyline. You know, it's something that, you know, leaps out to everybody, you know, Boyle, Strowman, Cali, and then obviously the other Boyle, Dan Boyle, and St. Louis. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a tired storyline, and, you know, I'm just ready for the series to begin, and so we can just talk about what's going on the ice as opposed to all the happy homecomings, if we can call it that.
And it looks like Rick Nash's game is finally starting to pick up in the playoffs, which, I mean, offensively at least, he's been amazing defensively. I mean, he really did shut down that power play of the Capitals that series.
Well, yeah, that's something Nash doesn't get enough credit for. I mean, you look at the Caps power play. What was it? Was it 6%? I think it was 6% against the Rangers last series. Yeah, Nash has been a 200-foot monster. You know, maybe that doesn't always result in goals, but, you know, he just dominates all over the ice. And you talk about, you know, six storylines that I'm tired of hearing about. I'm tired of hearing about everyone just attacking Rick Nash for a team-wide goal-scoring problem for the Rangers. He's been fantastic, in my opinion.
We've got Sean Harnett of WFAN 660 and CBS New York. Join us here on the Hockey Guys podcast, Hunter Crabb and Chris Shannon. Switching gears a little bit, one thing I wanted to ask you since you cover the Rangers is if you've had any interactions with Jeff Gorton, who's the assistant general manager for the Rangers, and his name has been tied to a lot of rumors for GM jobs around the league, notably in Toronto, some people saying in Boston. What are your thoughts on Jeff, and have you had any interactions with him in your time with New York?
Yeah, I've had the chance to speak with him a couple of times. Remember when they had the stadium series, he was speaking there instead of Sather. He was made available by the Rangers. You know, very intelligent guy, very analytical guy, a guy who really does a lot of heavy lifting for the Rangers in the front office, a guy who played a major role in the Angle deal. I have a lot of very good things to say about Jeff Gorton and the job that he does for the Rangers under Glenn Sather. I think ideally for the Rangers, they want him to be the guy who eventually takes over for Sather. And, you know, if they lose him, it would be absolutely huge. You know, I don't think the Rangers have anyone else really in mind as far as grooming for that role. I mean, Gordon's a guy that they've been grooming, and if they lose him, that's just going to be a massive, massive loss. So, yeah, Rangers fans are hoping definitely that he sticks around with the Rangers for the long term.
Sean, what's your prediction on this series? I mean, it's pretty close. And I, to be honest, I have no idea who's going to win the series. I don't know who's going to win any of these series. I mean, this Eastern and Western Conference Finals is going to be amazing because these two teams these four teams are all alike. And the way they're playing each other, I mean, it's going to be one hell of a series. And I really do think whoever wins the Stanley Cup is going to be someone that we do not expect.
I'm going to go with the Lightning in six. I know it's probably going to disappoint a lot of Rangers fans. And believe it or not, I've actually all the series correct last playoffs and this playoff. So I have a pretty good track record. So I guess Rangers fans are hoping I'll be wrong this time around.
Hey, guys. Sorry about that. My computer sucks. So, hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Didn't even know you were gone, Hunter. I was taking control, pulling
a
LeBron.
That's
carry the team. joking.
did you guys see that game anyway between Cleveland and Chicago? I mean, man, LeBron is ridiculous.
He's amazing. But it's funny because people actually think that Michael Jordan's better than him, or can beat him right now. Michael Jordan's 58 years old or something like that.
Michael Jordan could still play better than half of the team that he owns. I mean, that's how ridiculously good Michael Jordan is at basketball. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, well, the NBA playoffs have been pretty boring this year, to be honest. I think this is the best. There's only been one good series, and that was the Spurs versus Clippers. It just shows that I don't understand why NBA is more popular than the NHL, and I'm happy the NHL is growing, but it's been a pretty boring series, playoff series.
Don't be hating, man. Houston and L.A. has been a relatively decent series. You got to give some respect out there to the West Coast basketball. But, hey, I know where you're coming from, man. I see you. Just because your Miami Heat are irrelevant now doesn't mean that you have to be hating. Okay?
Well, there's a report that Montreal may be getting an NBA team, so we'll see. Maybe a fan change will be happening.
Quebec should hope that they get a second NHL team before they even worry about a basketball team, whatever. Hey, Sean, what do you think about your Knicks? I mean, Phil Jackson's done nothing this year, but what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. Let's not get started here. Sore subject, definitely, with what's going on with the Knicks. I'd like to stick it to hockey and just kind of remember, you know, the years of John Starks and Patrick Ewing and kind of just watch some old tapes and watch some old clips on MSG as opposed to concentrating on the current group in it.
All right. So this will be my last question, and then, Chris, you can take it over afterwards. I guess the big thing for me is it's been a really exciting playoff series so far, and I just want to hear your opinion on the Western Conference. It's going to be Ducks and Blackhawks in the Western Conference Final. What have your thoughts been on the postseason out of the West, and who do you think is going to come out between those two teams?
Well, I mean, you look at it as two really different styles. You know, the Ducks are a big physical heavy team, and Blackhawks are a skill team. Personally, I always like the skill team. I think the Blackhawks have so many game changers, and, you know, they lost Roosevelt, and that's going to hurt them a little bit on the back end. And, Crawford was struggling early in the playoffs, but he's been able to figure it out and in the second round and really come up huge in that series. It's just a matter of what your preference is, really. And I like the skill of the Blackhawks. So I have them winning in seven.
Thanks, Sean, for coming on, man. You know, this is I'm excited. I think we'll see your New York Rangers again. I think we'll be talking to you when we'll be talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs. My prediction is New York for Chicago, and that'll be one interesting one. If not, we'll for sure talk to you in the summer because I think we'll see some things go down if New York doesn't go farther than that. Thank you for coming on, man.
Oh, yeah, you got it, guys. Anytime. Enjoy your weekend.
Appreciate it, Sean. That is Sean Harnett of WFAN 660 and CBS New York. Man, WFAN, for all those people out there who love sports talk radio, I mean, Mike Francesca, that was the original sports talk radio. That was the first station that did 24-hour sports. And the fact that we're able to get probably one of the smarter minds in hockey, one of the best beat writers out there, the fact that we can get him on the show is just a testament to how great the Hockey Guys podcast truly is. Don't you agree, Chris?
Oh, we're the best.
The best. Like, come on.
Except our teams aren't too good right now, so.
Well, your team is relatively good. It's the team that, man, I was thinking about it the other day because, as I'm sure many hockey fans out there are aware, the other day was the two-year anniversary of the 4-1 game between the Leafs and the Bruins. And I was thinking about it since that game, I used to be a huge Leaf fan. I used to love this team. But in all honesty now, I wouldn't even say I'm a fan. I'd say I'm more just a supporter or Toronto, sure. Like, I'm more just a Toronto sports fan in general. But, like in all honesty, and I think if you ask a lot of Leaf fans this, the fandom surrounding that team has just declined. And it's not even genuine anymore.
That's what happens when you can't have a winning team. I mean, this team hasn't won. They haven't gone in the right direction. Nothing's changing. Hopefully it changes this summer. And, hey, who knows? If you get a guy like Strome or Marner, it may change the whole complexity of this team. If they have a big offseason, I mean, this team could be exciting to watch. So, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, and I agree. I mean, that's the way the Toronto Maple Leafs have had the worst luck. I don't think there's any franchise in the last 5 years that have had this worse luck than these guys. As a Montreal Canadiens fan, there's a hope. I know there's going to be a hope for you guys. You know, this offseason is going to be huge. I think we'll see some big things go down. And you know what? Shanahan's a smart guy. He's not going to mess this thing up even more. And if he does, Montreal Canadiens are always looking for bandwagoners.
Chris, we said that about Brian Burke. We're like, come on. Yeah. Burke, he's going to come in and save the day. And look what happened. It's all a joke. This team's a joke. But anyway, speaking about that, let's talk about a report coming out of TSN 1260 this morning in Edmonton. Bob McKenzie was on, and he was talking about Mike Babcock's situation, and he said that the only two teams that have spoken to Detroit to ask permission to speak to him were Buffalo and Toronto. No Philly, no Edmonton, which doesn't matter now that Edmonton's hired Tom McClellan. What are your thoughts on the report that only two teams have inquired about the supposed biggest free agent catch in years?
Yeah, it's a little weird, but I also think Ron Hextall is kind of taking a Lou Lamoriello page out of his book. He's kind of been quiet this year, you know. He does things kind of on the down low. He doesn't like things getting out there. But, you know, Bob McKenzie's the best source, so totally believe him. But I do think, you know, we were talking about this before. I really do think the Flyers will be the team that gets Babcock if he leaves Detroit. Now, Babcock, why would he want to go to Toronto or Buffalo? I mean, you're going to a full rebuild, and he said he wants to go to a winning team. I mean, these teams are in the midst of a rebuild. They're going to give you the money. I mean, these are the two teams that will pay you the big bucks. But I think this is just where he's going. You know, I think he's in Prague right now for the World Championships. So maybe he's talking to some other teams. It'll be interesting. You know, it's still really early. But I do think, and I think there's already been reports out there, that Mike Babcock wants to get this done sooner than later.
And I don't blame him. Honestly, I think that a guy like him hates these lingering things that go on for a while. And I think he is weighing his options right now. And I was thinking about it, too, how there's a string of tweets today from Don Cherry, and I laugh because I think in the last few years, Grape's opinion in a lot of people's eyes has gone down. I think a lot of people see him as just that kooky old man, and no one really pays attention to Coach's Corner anymore. But I thought he made a lot of good points about how when he was coaching Boston and then his contract was up, he was the big catch for coaching free agents. Then he signed with the now-defunct Colorado Rockies. And after he signed for a big money contract, he realized that he made a mistake and that he should have just stuck where he was. And his recommendation to Babcock was to stay in Detroit. And I thought about it. That might be his best option. As much as there's going to be way more money in Toronto and Buffalo, and you could say that as much as they're struggling rebuilding teams, they got a lot of young pieces that you can work around, and it might be a little more promising than Detroit. But at the same time, you know, there is a level of comfort in staying with some place, and there is a level of maybe taking a bit of a discount and staying with a team. And, you know, the more I think about it, maybe that might be the best option for Babcock. As much as I'll admit, I'd love to see Babcock in Toronto. That would be probably the best news the Toronto Maple Leaf fans have had since Brian Burke came and totally saved the day. Just kidding. But if I'm Babcock, maybe Detroit is your best option. Maybe just staying put and signing whatever you end up signing, that might be your best option.
And I agree. I think I have a little bit of feeling that he'll do that. And he's just testing the market right now. But I also think, you know, with his end game, when the Detroit Red Wings were eliminated, when he talked about this team, he didn't sound positive. He was talking about how the core is getting too old. There's a lot of young players in the system, but it's going to take a while for them to be as good as they used to be. It's not looking like he wasn't as happy, and like he didn't sound like he wanted to stay there. But you know what? Maybe he was just pissed off because he deserved that series. The Detroit Red Wings should have won that series, and they didn't. You know, that was right after the game. So you know what? You can't blame the guy, and he's the best coach in the NHL, and sadly, my Montreal Canadiens won't be getting him. But if you're Toronto Maple Leafs, get him. Good for you guys. You guys deserve it.
Yeah. Well, I like the I love the reports of how the private jet that MLSE owns flew into Detroit's airport, and it was being covered by a lot of media. And then MLSC went on the record being like, no, it has nothing to do with Mike Babcock. We're just, you know, we're just landing in the same airport that away teams fly into when they face the Red Wings. Come on, it's coincidence. Grow up. Just admit that you want the guy. Not come on.
It's weird, though. Like, it's weird that they do that. I mean, I saw that, too. I read an article on it. I don't know why they don't just admit it, because we all know about it.
Yeah, Brendan Shanahan's just like, oh, I'll just go to Detroit, you know. I'll just go to a Tigers game and see some Detroit Lions training camp. I mean, that's exactly what I'm doing. Like, come on, just admit that you want to sign the guy. But in all honesty, I don't think they're going to get him. I think it's either going to be Detroit or I got a good feeling about Philadelphia. I think that if you look at that situation where you've got Claude Giroux, you've got Sean Couturier, who still hasn't evolved into the player that I think he can be. He can easily be one of the top two-way forwards in the NHL, and he's not going to be as good as Datsyuk, but he could be that type of player who's offensively dynamic as well as near perfect defensively. I mean, there's a lot of good pieces in Philadelphia that he could work with. And if I'm him, I'd rather do that than a Toronto or a Buffalo, despite the fact that, you know, with Buffalo, he's got Terry Vigula who's going to give him a ton of money. And he's also got Murray, who he worked with in Anaheim during his time there. It's interesting. Like, it's just an interesting dynamic. I think the one thing that we haven't even really touched up on is Todd McClellan signing in Edmonton, not to mention Edmonton getting Peter Chiarelli from Boston. It's interesting times now in Edmonton. I mean, there's a little bit more optimism than there is in the past, but I'm sure that they're still going to blow it in some way, but who knows? What are your thoughts, actually, on McClellan going to Edmonton?
I think that's a great fit. I mean, we kind of saw that happening. You know, once we saw McClellan and was on the market and McDavid went to Edmonton, we kind of put the dots together, and Elliot Friedman's been all over it all the last 2 weeks saying that it looks like it's a done deal. Now, I don't think has it been confirmed that it's a done deal, or is it just, like, looked like they have a
it
word?
It says that
like,
bearing a major collapse, and Todd McClellan knows nothing about major collapses, bearing a major collapse, yeah, thank you.
That was a good shot. That was a good shot at him.
Hey, I got my moments. And it seems likely that he's going to be in Edmonton. And you know what? Like, man, the Oilers. They get McDavid. They get McClellan. They get a Stanley Cup winning GM and Peter Chiarelli. I mean, like, what is this? What is this?
Yeah, well, go over to Edmonton, all right, man? Forget about the Leafs. You know what? Your Raptors suck. Your Blue Jays suck. Your Leafs suck. Go over to Edmonton. That's the place to be.
Oh, your Blue Jays bullpen last night can't hold a lead. Aaron Loop. Barely know her. Oh, well. Oh,
I wish I could say I knew about baseball.
Yeah, trust me, you're not missing much. Oh, we got about 3 minutes left. Let's quickly talk about this. Arizona Coyotes. Seems like they're trying to get out of their arena deal, and there's a good chance that they might just void the deal and then become available for relocation. What are your thoughts?
Seattle is going to get a hockey team.
Ooh,
yeah.
Do.
We should actually make a song, and you know what? I think this is going to happen. I think Seattle will get their team. They're going to be an amazing NHL market. Las Vegas is going to get a team. They're going to be a unique franchise market. And the NHL is growing at a rapid pace. In the next 5 years, the NHL is going to be making an abundant amount of money. And soon teams are going to be worth $1 billion. It was $2 billion, the Clippers last year that they were sold for.
Yeah, they valued the Clippers at $2 billion. Like, come on, as if the LA Clippers worth $2 billion. The LA Clippers have been nothing more than a joke for up until, I guess, Blake Griffin, who's playing ridiculous right now for the Clippers. But, hey, they choked,
well,
just like they always.
Yeah. I just saw a cool tweet by Darren Dreger. He says, tune into TSN Sports Center tonight for an exclusive interview with Ken Holland and Mike Babcock. Yeah, that is going to be an awesome
that.
Interview.
I just saw
yeah.
That. That's a nice T-shirt
that
on Babcock.
The man, and you know what? He's going to be making close to $5 million. He's in Prague just watching some hockey, you know. Can go wherever he wants. This guy's living the life right now. You know what? He can do whatever he wants.
He really can. Like, life is just good for him right now. If I'm like Babcock, it's like I have no worries right now. I can, whatever I do, wherever I go, I'm going to sign a contract that's going to set my family for the next few generations. And, man, pretty awesome. Good for him.
Yeah, so that'll be a fun interview to watch tonight for sure. That'll be a very – we'll learn a lot.
I like Ken Holland looks like a divorced dad in that picture with his Gap sweater and his mom jeans. Very
it's the grind of being in Prague, having to watch some world hockey.
Everywhere I've heard, everyone says Prague is a hell of a party town. I guess we're gonna have to go. We should talk to James about letting us go to Prague and cover hockey for a bit. I think that would work out.
Yeah, well, I mean, the arenas are filled and they're crazy. I mean, it's like a European soccer match. They go crazy there.
No doubt about it. Anyway.
Hunter, we got to get you down to Florida next year. We're going to come down and watch the Panthers, you know, and we're going to have a good time down here.
Oh, you better believe it, man. You better believe it. All right. My name is Hunter Crowther. He's Chris Shannon. Follow him at ChrisShannon16. Follow me at Hunter Crowther. Follow our guest today, Sean Arnett at Harnett Hockey. Man, Eastern Conference Finals. And the Western Conference Finals. It's going to be great, and it's all starting tomorrow's Guys Podcast. We'll be back next week for more Hockey Talk. Enjoy your weekend, folks. Take it easy.
Karate and friendship for everyone.